listeners, and welcome to the Watch With Mothers podcast, number 41, this time dealing with actually quite an important topic. I'm here with Napoleon. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
What will we be discussing today?
Today we are discussing the first Leaders' Debate, which was on ITV last week.
Indeed we are, Mr. Yes. Napoleon, and we will hopefully be giving you an idea of the policies and the approach of each political party in a fair and even-handed manner, upon which you might make a decision come election day.
Exactly. We're going to have none of this larking about nonsense, are we? I think we're even recording this in the morning, which we don't tend to do. I think we're both very somber today. And I think we're going to be very serious. So if you're expecting a hilarious podcast where we do all kind of crazy things, well, I'm afraid you've tuned into the wrong thing.
Yeah, go to the Answer Me This podcast or something like that. Something whimsical and pointless and actually tediously unfunny.
Yes.
Because we today are... Well, I'm wearing a suit.
No, I'm wearing a suit too, and I've got a very serious face. I have a side-parted haircut. So, yes.
Where's your suit from?
My suit's from somewhere really expensive.
Yeah, where?
Debenhams.
Blimey.
Do you see? Where's yours from?
Mine's BHS.
Ooh, BHS. That's essentially the poor man's Debenhams.
Well, actually, it's coming up in the world, and I am sporting a demi-moustache as well, so...
Yeah, well, fair dues. But, I mean, it is the poor man's Debenhams. Well, you know, in the old days, C&A was the poor man's BHS. Now, that's gone. So, I don't know. What's the poor man's BHS?
Betamax.
Betamax? Wasn't that something to do with films?
Might be. Now, usually, at this point, I would ask Napoleon how his week has been.
Yes.
That would be entirely inappropriate in a political... debate scenario, especially one where you're not allowed to laugh, clap or sneeze.
Exactly, yes, none of that, thank you very much. If you were at home at the moment laughing, could you please stop that immediately?
In the interests of giving the debate a background, I will ask Napoleon how his political week has been.
Right, my political week so far has mainly been waving my fists at the air.
Right. Is that the volcanic ash cloud?
That is the volcanic ash cloud. I live, as you are aware, I live up north, and we actually have had ash in the air. We've had a tinge to our air. And what I want to know is, what's Gordon Brown doing about this?
Yeah, and if he was in government, just to be even-handed, what would David Cameron's do about
it? What would David Cameron do? What would Nick Clegg do, indeed? If they were in government right now, what would they do about this volcanic ash cloud that's coming over here from Iceland? We didn't ask for it. Iceland sets off a couple of volcanoes. I think it's in retaliation for the Cod War and the bankruptcy business that happened, as far as I'm aware. This is a terror storm. This is a terrorist attack on the United Kingdom. And I want to know what Gordon McBroom, Nick Clegg and David Cameron are going to do about it. Oh, bloody hell, there's a fly in here.
A fly?
Yeah, sorry about that. Carry on.
I'm a bit worried about the fly.
Well, it's not a very big fly.
Okay. Well, I suppose we'd better get on. There's a lot of debating to do.
Yes.
And if we could just remind the audience, please, no laughing, sneezing, movement, breathing, or sweating.
Or clapping.
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They'll watch a rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
And so let's get straight into it. The leaders are all here, sort of, well, not technically, but...
They're not here.
No. Mr. Napoleon, if you would please detail Mr. Nick Clegg's policies and performance on the election debate, we're all ears.
Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read out a for and against argument, and then we shall discuss them. If you imagine me as dark as hell, the devil's advocate, but I won't be doing the voice because that might stray into Jim Davis and Chalky territory.
Dark, okay? Dark as hell?
Darkest Howe. Do you remember Darkest Howe's programme, The Devil's Advocate?
I don't remember that show. I only really know him as a champion of black culture and...
Well, before that, he was The Devil's Advocate, where he would, obviously, being The Devil's Advocate, put both sides of the argument to people. I think it was a Channel 4 show. Went out every Saturday, I think, perhaps, after the Brookside Omnibus.
So, are you going to... You're not going to try the accent, are you?
No, oh dear God, no. I think, as we've already proved, that's very slippery territory, especially... You know, Jim Davidson proved it's not a good idea, and I'm not walking down that road. So I'm going to be dark as Howe, but with my voice. So if you imagine me as dark as Howe doing an impression of me.
I'm confused, but please carry on.
Okay, right. Here we go. Here's to you, Mr. Clegg. Good on you for pointing out to them other buggers that your party ain't fuddy-duddy and old-fashioned like what the Conservatives and the Labours are. Oh, no. With your Paddy Ashdowns and your Vincent... Cables, and you, that other fella, you want to take Britain forward into a future what's fair for all, unless you own an expensive house or you're one of these immigrants. These bloody immigrants! And I've underlined that. And then the against argument. Look at him, this Nick Clegg with his hands in his pockets. Who do you think he is? Is that what we want? Some slouching layabout, lounging around like he owns the place? Is this what Churchill fought and died for? Is it? Well, not on my watch, Mr. Clegg. Pull your bloody socks up. Get your hands out of your pockets. Stand up straight and get your bloody hair cut. Prime Minister, over my dead bloody body. And I've underlined that.
Right. So did you actually watch the election debate?
I did indeed, yes. I admittedly was playing a computer game at the same time.
Two screens?
Two screens, mate, two screens. We had the telly on, there was Gordon McBroom, there was David Macaroons, there was Rick Cloggs, and there was me blowing shit up.
Right, well, there's your carbon footprint right there.
What do you mean carbon footprint? There's no carbon footprint involved in watching television.
Of course there is, you're using electricity.
Like what?
Electricity.
Electricity, that's not evil. That doesn't contribute to environmental disasters at all.
Yes, it does. Of course it does. They have to stamp
like
on...
Like what?
They stamp on carbon to make electricity...
You don't tread on carbon. That's not how you get electricity. It doesn't come out of carbons, does it?
Yeah, they stamp on it.
Right, so you've got an army of what I assume northern people standing on carbon, and then what? The electricity company... Catch it in buckets, do they? The electricity that comes out leaks out.
Look,
what are you saying?
I didn't invent the process, but I presume you also farted a little bit while you were playing.
I didn't fart all that much. No, in fact, I didn't fart once. So no, throughout the entire 1.5 interminable minutes. No, not it wasn't 1.5 minutes, was it? The hour and a half the programme lasted for, I didn't fart once, and I think the missus can confirm that. Can you confirm that? Yeah, thankfully, she said. So there.
Now, that's off topic. I'd like to get back to the issue.
Mr. Clegg.
Mr. Clegg. What I liked about Mr. Clegg, Mr. Napoleon, you're in Sheffield.
I am indeed.
He remembered where people were from and what their names were. Now, that is the common touch.
That is very good. I like the fact that he did that by writing everybody's name down who asked a question. And then, if you saw him at the end, when he was saying about people, what they'd written out, he kept looking down.
Yeah, what he did was, he alternated looking at the pad to looking in the audience. What I suspect he did was doodle a little picture of the people's faces next to their names.
That's quite complicated.
Well, that's why I think, possibly, he has 33.3% of a chance of being Prime Minister.
Well, no, I think he's got 33.3% chance of being Prime Minister because people, especially young people in the 18 to 25-year-old demographic, have mistaken a general election with the X Factor.
Well, that's an extreme view, isn't it?
It's not really an extreme view. If you consider that, actually, the man didn't really say any of his policies. Not that the other two did either, to be perfectly blunt. But a lot of people have been interviewed and said, oh, I like him. And they've essentially taken it as a personality contest. Well, I'm sorry, but, I mean, if you are of the Facebook generation, it might be a good idea to read the manifestos. It might be a good idea to actually look into the policies. Because this is running a country that we're deciding here, not who's going to be getting the Christmas number one.
Well, without wanting to sound like a Lib Dem sympathiser, because I am genuinely a floating voter, you have to admit, that...
Like a turd?
Yeah, like a floating turd. Clegg was the only one who actually named any policies that were in any way different to what's gone before, whereas Brown...
Really? Brown, what, the immigration policy?
Yeah, that. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't flawed, but he wasn't he wasn't challenged on Trident, was he? Which I
think... No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. And I think that's a bit of a silly idea for us all to carry around tridents all day long.
Well, yeah, I don't agree with the idea of carrying around tridents. I think both Mr. Cameron and Mr. McBroom should reconsider this policy. It's ridiculous. I mean, we're not Neptune.
Well, how big does a trident have to be? Can you use a normal piece of cutlery, a fork?
Well, no, that's a fork, a trident. I mean, you've seen... Do you remember on the back of the old penny before they decided to yet again take a shit on Britain and get rid of her? Britannia?
The penny? We've still got the penny.
Yes, we've got rid of Britannia off of the back of pennies.
Have we? I haven't noticed.
Yes, well, obviously it's because you don't care about your own country. But what happened was, in 2008, they have removed Britannia. I think she's been on our coinage for something like 700 years, but they got rid of her anyway. Yeah, but do you remember? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. On the back of a penny, you've got Britannia, right? Have you got that in your head?
Yes, it's in my mind.
Right, she sat down on her arse, didn't she? Next to a lion, if memory serves.
Yes.
Right, there she is. Her left arm is held aloft like that. She's holding a trident. Yeah?
Yes.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here,
right.
Yeah.
Right, OK, the trident extends, obviously, from the floor to above, well, I'd say a couple of inches above her head, yeah? So that's a sitting... A trident is the size of a sitting woman, yeah?
Yeah.
Just above her helmet.
A helmet?
Yeah, she's wearing a helmet. Britannia wears a helmet.
So are we all going to have to sit next to lions holding tridents with helmets?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've not questioned Mr. Clegg. I'm assuming him being a Sheffield MP, he's certainly going to come here at some stage. And I am going to say, you know, look, I'm not happy about this holding tridents malarkey, quite frankly. Do we all have to walk around with a lion now? Do we have to dress in helmets? No, it's not Nick Clegg, is it? It's the other two.
I don't know.
So the other two want us to carry tridents and walk around with lions, and Nick Clegg doesn't. Is it? That's right, isn't it?
I thought it was Clegg that wanted us to hold a trident.
No, I thought it was he wanted to get rid of the tridents.
Well, this...
Actually, hold on a minute. If he wants to get rid of the tridents, does that mean we should already have tridents by law? Have you got a trident?
Well, I've got a fork in front of me.
Well, a fork's not a trident, is it? You can't spear mythical sea beasts with a fork. I mean, if you went into the sea, are you there?
I could probably manage a fish finger.
Right, fish fingers aren't actually, you know, they're not a sea species.
But they come from the sea.
Yeah, right, okay, so you think you're going to the sea, you're armed with a fork, and somehow, you're going to come across a shoal of fish fingers, which you will attack with your fork?
I hadn't really thought it through, but that's generally the plan, yeah.
Right, well, I mean, I am here to tell you that fish fingers aren't actually... They're not a fish. They are made from off of fishes, but they're not fishes in their own right. They're not sentient beings. You don't get shoals of rectangles of fish covered in breadcrumbs swimming through the sea. That doesn't happen.
No, but fish use their fingers to swim through the sea.
No, fish haven't got fingers.
Right. And now on to candidate number two. This is the current incumbent.
The incumbent of Great Britain, the Prime Minister of Great Britain and the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Yes, and Cornwall.
Sorry about the owl.
So, Mr. Napoleon, if you could now read out the for and against arguments for Georgina Brown, the Prime Minister of Scotland.
Gordon McBroom. Here we go. Right, here's to you, Mr. McBroom. Good on you for pointing out to them other buggers that it was you what rescued this country from the verge of an economic apocalypse. Not them. With your Alistair Darlings and your Peter Mandelsons and your that other fella, you know what's good for this country when it comes to the economy, because you're Scotch and they're notoriously mean with their money. Ha! I don't see Nick Clegg getting us out of this mess that you're partly responsible for, Mr. McBroom. These bloody immigrants! And I've underlined these bloody immigrants.
Right, could we move on to against?
The against, right. Look at him. This Gordon McBroom with his one eye and his hideous smile that makes him look a bit like Gary Glitter. Five more bloody years of that dour Scotch get. Not if I've got anything to do with it. And anyway, the Scots shouldn't even be running this country because they're all drunkards. And they're not very tall. Is that what you want? A not particularly tall man running the country? Adolf Hitler was only 5 foot nine. Is that what you want?
That's it.
Sorry, I've underlined dirt. Is that what you want?
So, yeah, I can see a point that the personal appearance of the Prime Minister is massively important.
It certainly is. He's not a particularly tall man.
Yeah, and he also, as many people have noted, he has a glass eye and he does that funny thing with his mouth when he's finished a sentence.
To do an impression of that, if you imagine I'm Gordon McBroon, yeah?
Right.
Right, so this year we've added some 50 billions. He always says billions, he doesn't say billion, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Oh,
yeah.
We've added 50 billions to the economy. Like that.
Yeah, well, that's not going to look good if he has to go and meet, say, the Prime Minister of America.
Exactly. If he has to go over there and meet Michael Jackson, what's he going to look like? Michael Jackson's going to be there. He'll say, Michael Jackson, I'm the President of America. He says, hello, I'm Gordon McBroom. And I'm the Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland and Scotland. Like that. You just think, oh, this is worse than if we'd have had Prescott.
But just a point of order, Michael Jackson's is dead. He's not the Prime Minister of America. You're thinking of Barry Obama.
Am I? I thought Michael Jackson was the President of America.
Well, moving on, policy-wise, I thought it was important and reassuring that Gordon... what's his name?
McBroom.
Gordon McBroom. He made a joke. He did a funny.
Yes, but it was an incredibly sinister funny. I don't know if it's the right funny you're on about. Do you mean the bit where he turned to David Cameron, did his Chinaman impression, his outdated Chinaman impression, and went, you know, you can't massage your figures, David, like you can massage your posters. Like that? Except in a Scotch accent?
Why was that Chinese?
Well, no, because do you remember the Chinaman impressions people such as Peter Sellers used to do?
No.
Yes, well, they did do. Marlon Brando, there was a film that Marlon Brando was in the 1950s called The Something of the Autumn Moon or anything like that. It was hideously offensive to Chinese people because they'd effectively just done that thing kids used to do by pulling their eyes back. You know what I mean?
Oh, the Ronaldo thing.
Right, yeah. Well, Gordon McBroom, when he does that smile where he closes his eyes really, really close, you know, almost closed, yeah, looks like he's doing an offensive, old-fashioned Chinaman impression.
Right, I see. I didn't mean that funny.
Oh, right, because that was obviously hilarious and not at all scripted and not in the slightest bit sinister.
I meant the one where, at the end, you know, they're all meant to stand on the podium. McBroom, I think he slapped Nick's leg on the arse.
Did he slap him on the arse?
And then he ran down and started shaking people's hands, which was disobedient, to say the least.
Well, wasn't he meant to do that?
No, he was meant to stand on stage with Alistair Stewart in front of them and then the credits roll, but he didn't. He slapped Nick Clegg on the arse, ran to the audience, started shaking hands, and then Cameron and Clegg looked at each other and thought, well, I suppose we'd better shake a few hands as well.
Well, so it's very telling that he slapped Nick Clegg on the arse, but he didn't so much as give David Cameron a second glance.
Well, McBroom agreed with everything Cleggy said.
He does, and I indeed agree with Nick. I agree with Nick. I agree with Nick. I think that was the catchphrase of the evening. Indeed, a lot of people walked away from that, and it's, what can you remember from the debate yesterday? I agree with Nick.
That's pretty much, yeah, maybe that was brainwashing.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, if you agree with Nick so much, Mr. McBroom, why aren't you in the Liberal Democrats?
Well, I agree with Nick. Do you agree with Nick?
No, I don't agree with Nick. No, not at all. I don't agree with a lot of things Nick has to say. I don't want the Liberal Democrats running Britain.
Now that you've said that, I'm not sure that I agree with Nick.
No, I don't agree with Nick in the slight. I don't agree with Nick about anything. I mean, if Nick came to me and he pointed at a white thing and said, that's white, that, I'd say, that's not, it's black. That's how little I agree with Nick Clegg.
So you're needlessly contrarian when it comes to Nick.
I would, yeah. Of all of them, I would rather, and for me, this is a thing. I would rather have 5 more years of Gordon McBroom than I would Nick Clegg.
Now, getting back to policy.
Okay.
What's all this? I didn't mishear it because I rewound it. McBroom at one point said, "We're already giving teenagers £250 here and there, and now we're going to give toddlers cash."
Exactly. Yeah. The plan from the Labour Party is to give all of the toddlers in Britain. So, I mean, what's a toddler?
A toddler is a little human.
Well, obviously, it's a little human. I know. You know, I'm not referring to dogs or puppies. Well, that's the same thing, obviously. But you know what I mean. I'm saying, what defines a toddler? Obviously, they toddle. What age do they toddle from? When do they stop being toddlers?
They start walking just before, I should say, their second birthday. I'd imagine.
Before their second birthday, is that when they're about a year and a half? Is it?
Yeah, well, it depends on the baby, obviously, but by 2, I reckon they're walking.
Well, I'd say that any baby that isn't walking by the age of 2 is a retard, is a retarded baby, isn't it? Surely?
You can't use that. You can't use that.
Yeah, you can.
Of
course you can. I'm not referring to bad things. I could use that word. Just used it. So anyway, that's just a stupid
Just to be
baby.
Safe, just to be safe, let's say between 2 and 4.
Right, but no way. 4? If you're not walking by the age of 4, there's definitely something wrong with you. You're an idiot.
No. I'm saying toddlers are between the age of 2 and 4, because at 4 they go off to school.
Right, well, no, 1.5. Well, yeah, but you're not a toddler at the age of 4, are you? You've stopped toddling. You can now walk. Surely it's 1.5, yes?
Right.
2, 3.
It's irrelevant. What's your point, anyway?
My point is, right, that if you are now sat at home with a 1.5, 2, 3-year-old toddling thing, yes, you are just about under a Labour government, you are just about to get a handout for that child. Now, as far as I'm concerned, well, what for? What do they need? What do small humans need that requires a government handout?
Well, I didn't even have a bank account at 1, 1.5.
I didn't have a bank account. I didn't have anything. I was wearing I was wearing my uncle's hand-me-down clothes, yeah? So that didn't cost anything at all. And you, obviously, being the youngest of brothers, you must have got the shitty end of the deal there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you, you know, 1980, probably up to 1985, you were still walking around in flared trousers.
Green corduroy flared trousers.
Exactly, yeah. Because obviously, you know, you're at the bottom of that particular line. So obviously, I mean, I couldn't believe it yet. I once was given hand-me-down underpants from my granddad. Unbelievable. I do not want to wear the underpants of my grandfather.
Well, you could do with McBroom's toddler handout.
Well, yeah, I could have done then, but the point being is, what I'm saying is, toddlers, yeah, actually need nothing. You know, they eat nothing. You've got a child in the family, haven't you?
We've got 2 now.
Right, yeah, 2 now. Right, well, have you ever witnessed them eating?
Drinking milk from a boob.
Exactly, they drink milk from boobs, but when they grow up and they turn into toddlers, yeah, they allegedly eat. So what you do is you put a plate of food in front of the buggers and they get a little plastic fork and they eat 3 things off it, don't they?
Right.
So how much can that cost? 3 morsels of food. Sod all. So they get hand-me-down clothes, they eat 3 things, which is the equivalent of about a third of a sandwich. Yeah, that doesn't cost much. You're talking 50p here. What else? They don't need anything else.
So, it's unnecessary,
yeah,
really,
why
isn't
are
it?
They getting everybody else's money? I don't know what they're going to use this for. Ribena? What? What are they using it for? What do they need all this money for? McBroom, if you're listening to this, admittedly I doubt you are, but if you are, why do they need this money?
Well, I agree with Nick.
Yeah, I agree with Nick. Oh, no, I don't.
Welcome to the Watch with Mothers mini apple. Is that all right?
Right, well, this is our only chance of a breather, so do kick back.
Oh, I tell you, all this politics. Oh, I mean, we are going quite in-depth into this, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it's intellectually exhausting. I'm putting my feet up.
I'm sweating like a pig. The owl is still outside. Sorry about the owl. I mean, if you can hear the owl, obviously, I do apologise for that. I didn't realise that while we were trying to do all this serious political business, that I'd have an owl outside.
Have you still got a fly in the room as well?
No, but there's a fly in the room, there's an owl outside, at night there's a fox, and there's a one-eared cat. I don't know if that's got anything to do with a fox.
You should get in touch with the National Trust. It sounds like you've got a little nature park going on.
Oh, it's like being Bill Oddie here. I tell you, I'll tell you what you got. You got birds, you got ducks, yeah, you got magpies, you got pigeons, that owl that you can hear, you got him, you got the fox, you got a cat, you got another cat, haven't you? You rarely see that cat. You think that cat's walking on the other cat's territory, as it were. That like that, they're cats.
It's like Beatrix Potter's.
It is. You've got those smaller birds, you got tits. Yeah, you got great tits.
I love tits.
Oh, I love tits, mate, yeah. You got them, and in the wintertime, you got Robin Redbreast.
I've got a couple of tits. Well, actually, a huge gang of tits keep coming to the bird feeder on my windowsill. It's quite a delight.
Right. So your dangling thing in the garden is infested with tits?
I don't have a garden. It's just on my windowsill, and they come
right up. Because you don't have a garden, you live in London. You don't have a garden in London. It's ridiculous. I mean, what would the garden add to the value of your house? £1 million?
Probably quite a sum, but they're quite nice creatures, the tits.
I like the blue and yellow and white tits. What are those ones called?
Depends if it's got a stripe and if it's small. If it's got a stripe...
Are they blue tits?
Yeah, the smaller one is the blue tit, yes.
I will, of course, advise any ladies whose tits go blue should contact a doctor immediately.
Well, yeah, very sober advice. How's your week
exactly,
been?
Exactly, yes. It's been all right, mate, actually, yeah. I mean, obviously, the ash is a problem. I went out on Saturday for a walk with the other half, and I had a very dry throat at the end of it.
And that's the ash?
That, it's been all right.
That's the
yeah,
ash?
That's the ash, yeah. You can taste it in the air. You can actually smell it. It's quite fascinating, and it's giving you some lovely sunsets.
Yeah, we had a lovely sunrise yesterday and today, actually. I think it was probably the volcanic ash. Can you pronounce the name of the volcano?
Yes, I think it's Riken Ungen Ungen Lunga Bunga Bunga.
It's Esterunsen Kansen Bansen Runsen Gumban.
Right, I mean, let's face it, if there's any Icelanders listening to this, your language is ridiculous. There's too much of it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
All you need to do, just cut your words in half, yeah? Throw the back end away and Bob's your uncle. You've got a language that's actually usable.
And what's with all the umlauts?
All the umlauts? Yeah, exactly. That's just stolen off of Germany.
If you had an umlaut, you'd be Napoleon.
Napoleon. Indeed, if my name was actually Napoleon, I would be.
Yeah, Napoleon Kierkegaard.
Napoleon.
Have you got any proverbs for me?
Well, no, hold on. What about your week? You done anything?
I was trying to avoid it because my week has been a tedious struggle with an internet service provider.
All right. So, obviously that's Mr. Branson again.
I'd rather not name names, but you've done it now.
Oh, yeah. Up yours, Richard Branson. That's all I can say. That man charges us, the general public, a bloody fortune for his wares. And what happens every month without fail? His wares don't work.
Yeah, it's been
allegedly
three times this month for me personally.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know who would run a better service, but I think even Benny Hill or Norman Wisdom could run a better broadband company than you're doing, Mr. Branson. And Norman Wisdom was on his arse half the time.
Arkwright, I reckon, would be a better ISP.
Yeah, yeah. If you rang up and you said, "Look, my broadband's not working," he said, "Da-da-da-da." Don't worry, it'll be back on before I can finish this sentence. And you look down and bingo, it's on.
Your cable light's green.
Yeah, exactly. Because it takes so bloody long for him to say anything. Anyway, that's moving into dodgy territory.
Proverbs.
Proverbs, right, well, yes, we have another three for you this week. Are you ready for these?
I'm more than ready. I'm very excited. This is probably my favourite part of the show.
It's a nice bit. It's nice and relaxing. People seem to like it, and it's informative.
Yeah.
Right, so, number one, enough is as good as a feast.
Enough.
And the owl has joined in.
Enough is as good as a feast.
Mm.
Well, let's define
what do you think of that?
Define enough. What is enough?
Well, enough. Right, say I'm having my dinner. Yeah, can you imagine that?
Are you eating enough?
Well, I'm just about to explain what I would say would be enough. So I'm having a pork chop dinner, all right?
All right.
All right, you can imagine that. So on my plate, two pork chops, yeah?
Is it enough?
Wait a minute. Two pork chops. Three boiled potatoes, yeah?
Yep.
A spoon. Are you writing these down?
No, mentally rememberising them. I'm writing down, hang on.
Right.
So that's three chops.
Two chops. Three boiled potatoes.
Three boiled potatoes, what, presumably sliced or diced?
Yeah, so, I mean, what you've effectively got there is six boiled potatoes, isn't you? Because you cut them in half.
Right, okay, got you.
Okay, a good spoon's worth of peas.
Spoon peas.
Okay, a good spoon's worth of carrots.
Spoon's worth carrots.
And finally, a good spoon's worth of beans. And then lashings of gravy.
Beans and peas?
Yeah, beans and peas, yeah.
Well, that's more than enough. That's a feast.
Well, that's not a feast. No, wait a minute. No. Right, so you've got... That's enough for me. Yeah? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right. Now then. Oh, let me have a think. 1540, for instance. Yes, Henry VIII is there. Before him is the court, the magnificent court of England. There are table upon table of nobles. There are ladies in their finery. There are knights of the realm. There are soldiers. They're everywhere. You've got tables of people groaning with the fineness of England. You've got Cardinal Wolsey there. You've got Sir Thomas More there. You've got his whichever queen he hasn't killed yet. You got the lot, yeah? You got it?
Yeah.
Are you way back there in Tudor times?
I'm there.
Okay, the trumpets blow. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da! Your Majesty, the feast is here. And in walks a servant. And what's he got in his hands?
A pig's head.
No, he's not got a pig's head. He's got one plate with two pork chops, three potatoes, a spoonful of peas, a spoonful of beans, a spoonful of carrots and lashes of gravy. And he puts that down in front of your Majesty. He says, right, everybody tuck in. Is that enough?
Give me a second. I'm just going to do the maths on this.
Okay.
That's not enough.
That's not enough for a feast. Right, we can move on. Number two, cleanliness is next to godliness.
Right, well, I generally clean myself, my groin, my buttocks, legs, feet, chin, neck, nipples, underarms, face, hair, in the bathroom.
Your body, essentially?
All bits of my body, yeah.
Right.
In the bathroom.
Right.
There's no God next to that, there's the kitchen.
No, there isn't. So, your bathroom's... I'm imagining your bathroom.
Yeah.
Is your kitchen... What is there anything the other side?
The front room, yeah.
The front room. So, next to your cleanliness is two rooms. There's definitely no gods in there, no?
No, so I would change that to cleanliness is next to the bathroom and the kitchen on the other side.
And the living room. So, what about the cleanliness of your house, for instance? Do you live in a clean house?
Ooh, that's pushing it.
Right, so you live in a semi-clean house.
Yeah, semi-cleanliness is next to the kitchen and the front room.
Okay, so say you've done a half-assed job of cleaning up the living room.
Yeah,
yes?
Yeah.
You've done that, right. Have you looked out the window? Notice any gods out there?
No, just some tits.
What about in the kitchen? Is there a god in there? Is there?
There's a fridge.
Well, fridge, no god. There's no god in the fridge?
No, there's some ham, but it's past its sell-by date.
Okay, well, I think we've conclusively proved there that cleanliness is not necessarily next to godliness.
No, it's not necessarily.
Sorry, I ended up as a bit of a Bruce Forsyth moment there. So, should we move on to the final one?
We're short on time. Let's crack on, yeah.
Okay, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Well, I've never been given a horse as a gift.
Right.
I imagine some people do give them as gifts.
Okay.
But you'd be better off not looking a gift horse in the arse, because it might kick you in the face.
It might indeed, yes. I mean, if you are to look at a gift horse, say you've been given a gift, a horse as a gift by, well, it's going to have to be somebody rich, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be your father if you're born into a with a silver spoon up your face.
For instance, yeah, if your father was the Duke of Devonshire, for instance. Here we go, my boy, I bought you a horse. Thank you, Father, that's very kind of you. Now, whatever you do, don't look it in the mouth. Why not, Father? I have no bloody idea. You know, because the point being is if you actually do look a horse, whether it's a gift horse or just an ordinary horse, or you know, it's not even your horse... Any horse, essentially, unless it's a really angry horse. But mainly, horses, if you look them in the mouth, I don't think they're going to be that bothered.
No, so they should really change that to don't look a gift horse in the arse, because it might kick you up the face.
It might kick you up the face, so, yeah. So that, again, I'm sorry, Proverbs, but it's nil to you and not nil to us.
Watch with mothers.
Watch with mothers!
And so, listeners, we are on to part three of today's election special.
Are you back to being serious now?
Well, we've done the midiamble. It's time to get back to the politics.
Yes, this is like I imagine readers, listeners, are thinking a very similar thing, that this is like John Humphreys and another John Humphreys, this.
You couldn't be serious, could you? Just for three segments of a podcast, you couldn't be serious.
I am being serious. I'm saying that you're like John Humphreys and I'm like another John Humphreys. This is how politically serious this actually is.
Well, so long as you're being serious.
I am. Look.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, that's a bit serious, that.
Thank you very much.
We're on to part three, so obviously that means we're turning to the third candidate, the boy least likely to, David Cameron. Take it away, Napoleon.
OK, here's to you, Mr Cameron. Good on you for pointing out to them other buggers that this country's on its arse and it's going to take a Conservative government to sort it out. With your George Osbornes and your William Hagueses and your that other fella, you want to mend broken Britain, reduce big government and bring in big society instead, whatever that is. These bloody immigrants!
Is that it?
That's the for argument, yes? Would you now like the against?
Please progress onto the against, yes.
Okay, look at him, this David Cameron with his fancy London ways and his posh public school education. Who the hell does he think he is? This is 2010, Mr Cameron, not 1910. We don't want posh people running our country. We want real people. People what have lived a bit of life. People what are down with the people and know people because they are people. People such as public school educated Nick Clegg, for example, or former rector of Edinburgh University, Gordon McBroom. Get back to Eton, Mr Cameron, and take that oik, George Osborne, with you. There you go.
Well, yeah, you point out that he went to Elton John School, which was...
He did go to Elton John School.
It was also attended by Elton John and Ben Elton, I believe.
And Ben Elton and Bernie Taupin.
Yeah, he went there, didn't he?
He did. Russ Abbott went there, and his sidekick, his little sidekick, Les Dennis.
Lenny Bennett was there, obviously.
Lenny Bennett was there. Roger De Courcy and Nucky Bear. In fact, I think it's the only public school in Britain that takes puppets.
Yeah, that Prince one was there. What's his name?
What, Prince?
No, not Prince, the singer Prince, with his raspberry beret, not him.
I've got a raspberry beret, I bought it from Woolworths. That one?
No, not that Prince. I mean the one, who was it, Duke something? The guy who had a ventriloquist dummy that was a Duke.
Oh, you mean Ray Charles and Lord Allen?
Yeah.
Ray Allen and Lord Charles. Yeah, I think that was it. It was either Ray Allen and Lord Charles or Lord Allen and Ray Charles?
It wasn't Ray Charles, he was the singer, keyboardist.
Was it Ray Charles that went there?
Yeah, he went to the Ben Elton School of Piano.
I have to say about Ray Charles that if you are going to sleep with somebody else whilst married to a woman, that the best way of getting yourself out of it is to write a fancy song. Well done, Ray Charles.
Yep, good work, Ray Charles. Now, what bothers me about Mr Cameron...
Go on.
I'll lay it on the line here.
Lay it on the line. You're not a Tory fan, are you? So this is going to be biased?
I'm not particularly right-wing, though, and I don't really know what big society is, but what I really disapprove of... is his plan, which he outlined in the debate, to make our schools Swedish.
That makes no sense.
Swedish schools?
Swedish school? What have they got in Sweden?
Pickled herrings for lunch.
Pickled herrings, suicide.
Incest.
Incest, hardcore pornography, blonde hair.
Lesbianism.
And lesbianism and ABBA.
Suicide.
So I said suicide.
Well, double suicide.
Double suicide. Yeah, suicide packs.
Yeah.
Yeah, suicide rings. A bit like paedophile rings, but there's nothing bad involved. They just all kill each other. Well, they don't kill each other, do they? That would be a murder ring.
We don't want
a suicide ring would be where they kill themselves.
We don't want that.
In a ring.
We don't want that.
We don't want that. We don't want our schools full of suicide, hardcore pornography. Well, mind you now, if my school, our school, we went to the same school, didn't we, if I remember rightly?
I recall seeing you there, yeah.
Yeah, I certainly do remember you in amongst the little people. Mm. But anyway, we went to the same school, and if one of the lessons had been hardcore pornography, the Swedish way, I'd have been quite happy with that.
What, taught by Swedish lesbian teachers?
Well, knowing our luck, it would have been with a maths teacher, the clod-hopping boobies.
Yeah, you see, I don't really fancy that, so...
They're like wire wool.
And we'd all be speaking Swedish. David Cameron, what are you talking about with your big societies and your Swedish schools?
Well, I think I've got a handle on big society.
Is it like society but big?
No, it's... what it is at the moment, we're spending lots and lots of money on the public services and on government and what have you. So things such as the NHS and the police and all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff, effectively, things that run the country. What the Conservatives would like to do is get rid of all that and just get us to do it instead, for free.
Well, I'm already clinically lazy, so...
Well, yeah, but imagine, you know, you're already lazy, but now you get a letter from the Conservative Party saying, could you empty your own bins? There's a tip down the road. Could you go and do that? I think that's what big society is.
But presumably, I'd have to walk out to, well, beyond Walthamstow, and that's quite a hike.
Right, I don't know where that is. Is that in the West Midlands?
It's in London, which is a city in England.
I know it's a city in England, but it's got too many bits, London. They need to get rid of at least 15% of London to make it more manageable.
Well, that would damage the economy, I think.
Well, no, it wouldn't. Why would it damage the economy if you knocked a few boroughs off London? It wouldn't damage the economy. You have no economy in London other than making loads of money. What else does London do?
Chimney sweeps.
Chimney sweeps, chambermaids, nannies, that sort of thing. But as a general rule, the only bit of London that actually makes any money is the flash bit, isn't it?
Now, listen, I think you've
got... The flash bit!
You've got the wrong handle on big society. What I think it is an abbreviation of building society.
What, so they want to turn Britain into a building society?
No, they want the building society of Britain instead of the Bank of England.
Right, and what difference would that make?
Well, it's got better interest rates.
Okay.
And it's got nicer marketing material.
Right.
If you think of your Halifax compared with your HSBC...
Oh, no, not the Halifax. The Halifax is a bank.
Is it not a building society anymore?
No, it's a bank. The Halifax is a bank. The Nationwide is a building society. Well, so I think you should use that as an example.
Let's use that as an example. I'm sure Halifax used to be a building society.
It did, but the members greedily voted it to be a bank so that they could all get about 500 quid for free. Short-termism.
Right, well, Nationwide.
Okay, the Nationwide.
It's nicer than HSBC, isn't it?
Well, it is, yes. So, at the moment, what you're saying is, what the Conservatives want to bring in is a nicer version of what we've already got.
Well, I think that's what they're talking about. I'm not sure how right. Mr Cameron's going to do it, when all he can do is play the piano, having schooled at Elton John's School for Piano.
Well, obviously, yeah, there's playing the piano. Can't he do other things? Isn't he on the internet?
He is, Web Cameron.
With his lovely wife, Samantha.
Oh, don't get me started on his wife.
Do you like his wife?
I don't like her frocks.
Why don't you like her frocks? What's wrong with her frocks?
I find her frumpy.
You think she's frumpy? Would you say she's more frumpy than Gordon McBrown's lovely wife, Sarah?
Well, she is a keen gardener, so she has to dress frumpily.
Well, what about Nick Clegg's lovely wife, Agnes?
Oh, Nick Clegg, who earns more than all three of them not put together, technically.
What do you mean he earns more?
No, I'm saying she earns more than Nick Clegg. She's a high-powered lawyer, isn't she?
Oh, she is. She's a bit like Cherie Blair. May she burn in hell.
She's a bit like that, but not as annoying and with a sexy Spanish accent.
I didn't know she was Spanish.
She is.
Oh, right. Well, actually, Spaniards are quite sexy.
Yeah, who's the sexiest Spaniard you can think of?
Zorro.
Crikey! That was exhausting.
It was, yeah. I mean, I think we've done all of the three leaders there proud. I think in there's that whole fairness thing, isn't it, that really we should just take a bit of time to discuss the other party standing in this general election.
Yeah, Greens.
The Greens are obviously, yeah, the weirdy beardies. They launched their manifesto last week. They want to put 50% tax on fags and booze. So that's a no from me.
Fags?
Fags and booze. 50% tax rise they want to do. And they want to pay for, well, I'm assuming they want to pay for windmills, fairy dust, you know, all the rubbish that the Greens think are going to get Britain out of the hole it's in, such as wind farms and hydroelectric power stations and beards and,
save the
and
whale.
Woods. Yeah, whales. We're going to have to spend, yeah. All right, fag money and booze money is going to be going on whales. Do you want to vote for that?
We've already proved that we can't look after whales in this country. Remember when one found its way down the Thames?
Yeah, and what happened? They were saying day after day after day, we're going to have to get this whale out or it's going to die. Next day, we're definitely going to have to get this bloody whale out or it's for it. The next day, no, it's dead.
Yeah, it's like a child bringing a goldfish back from the circus.
Exactly. I remember when I was a child, I found a bird on the ground and it was clearly, you know, it was on its way out. So I rode it home. Gave it to me stepdad, and it was dead.
That's a very sad story. I once found a rat, kept it in a box on an allotment in a shed, and returned a couple of days later, it had died and I had become comfortably numb.
Oh, you bastard, that's not very nice. Do you know, I used to have dogs follow me home.
Well, you're that type, it must have been the smell.
No, it wasn't the smell, I'm not a tramp. I mean, when I was a child, I was forever being followed by dogs. The dogs like me, usually. And some of them take it to extremes and follow me around.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a good thing.
I might smell of sausages.
Back to politics.
OK, so that's the Green Party. I think we both decided we're not voting for them.
No, not with 50% on Siggy.
I'm not voting for Bill Oddie. Thank you very much. So, the next one, I would say, is UKIP.
Well, I do sometimes, yeah.
What, you go for a kip?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's their main policy of just going to sleep. I think it's got something to do with a bloody EEC. They're not happy about it.
Yeah, they hate those technocrats in Brussels.
Exactly,
something.
those interfering, busybody Euromaniacs who are spending their bloody lives using our money to interfere with our cucumbers, our sausages, effectively anything cylindrical and slightly curly.
Well, I'm not voting for anyone who can't pronounce his own name.
Well, I mean, his name is Nigel Farage, isn't it? He pronounces it Farage.
And then he says, how do you pronounce the place where you put your car? Garage.
Yeah, garage. My name is Nigel Farage, but I put my car in a garage. He should, by rights, call himself Nigel Farage, who parks his car in a garage. The man's a blustering buffoon.
So he's out.
Right, so the next potential candidate for our floating votes will have to be the British National Party. Zeke
Bump.
Hyle!
Bump.
Ooh, I don't think I'm voting for them. Do you know why?
Because they're racist.
Because they're awful racist. That's effectively like voting for a party where the leader is Jim Davidson and Bernard Manning. What the British National Party... I mean, I live up north, and there's quite a lot of support for the British National Party up here. Hello, Northerners. Do you want to say hello?
Hello, lad.
Hey, up. So, yeah, up here, there's quite a lot. You get in places like Barnsley and Rotherham. You actually get the BNP on the streets. Go, oh, vote for British people. Vote for the BNP. Vote for British people first. Blah, 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 blah. No, they're just a bunch of racist shit. So if any of you listening out there are contemplating voting for the BNP, piss off. Vote for somebody proper, you bastards. So I think that's them dealt with.
Monster Raving Loony, they still going, are they?
Yeah, the Monster Raving Lunatic Party. My favourite policy of theirs is that they want to stop up both ends of the English the Channel Tunnel, and they want to fill it with wine and have it as a great big wine cellar. I like that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think they also want to replace all our roads with licorice.
Are you serious?
I think I am, yes.
Licorice Road.
I mean, to be fair, the clue is in the title of the party that they are going to be a bit left field when it comes to their policies.
Licorice Rhodes might be a good name for an art historian.
A Licorice Rhodes, you can imagine being a prog rock album from about 1975.
I wholeheartedly approve, but they're not getting my vote, because they're lunatics.
They're lunatics. I'm not voting lunatics into the intergovernment. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I suppose we have to then move on to the Natural Law Party.
Oh, the levitation lads.
The levitation of the yogic flyers. Of course, paid for entirely by George Harrison. I think what they want us all to be doing, well, it's just flying, isn't it? I think that's their main policy.
It's sort of jumping on your knees, isn't it?
It is effectively jumping on your knees, but they call it flying.
But how's that going to affect the economy?
The economy will... I think everything will go land on its arse with the Natural Law Party, which is entirely the opposite of what they want.
Yeah, so they're out, really, aren't they?
I'm not voting for them. I mean, I quite like the idea of flying, but I don't like the idea of the country landing, as it were. So I suppose, finally, we have the Referendum Party.
But they just want a referendum on... The referendum on Europe.
On that Europe, yeah. And I think the what they don't like is us signing up to the Maastricht Treaty in 1992.
Which was some time ago. And also, a referendum on Europe would mean lots of idiots voting on probably the most technical thing in European history, which isn't a great idea.
No, not really. And I think most people just vote no because they don't like Europe, even though they go on holiday there, which is ironic.
I do quite like keeping hold of pound coins when I've got them, though.
Yeah, I don't want to lose the pound. I'm happy with the sausages we've got. Thanks very much. I know that Germany, in particular, produces some very nice sausages. But I'm happy with the Lincolnshire. Thanks. I don't want it messed around with. However, that doesn't mean I'm going to vote for a party that no longer exists and whose leader has been dead for several years.
Well, the Referendum Party and UKIP both keep saying that Britain's full, but I went to the park only yesterday and it was empty.
We're full up!
It's empty, though.
We're full up! It's these bloody immigrants! Don't you realise this?
I don't, and I'm also wondering where I'm going to put my vote.
Well, I think we now have to really decide, don't we? We've dismissed all the minor parties. There are a few others, such as the English Democrats. They're effectively the same sort of racist business as the BNP. I think there's a few more greeny things. There's Arthur Scargill's lot, your socialists, you know what I mean? The Socialist Labour Party, are they called?
I've no idea.
I think they're the ones that are affiliated to that shouting, ranting man that you see in the streets of Britain who tries to sell you a socialist worker. He's from the 80s. You know
what? The man in very tight running shorts who says, "Don't be a sinner, be a winner" in Piccadilly Circus.
Could be him, yeah. Oh, no, isn't he a god botherer?
Oh, yeah, he probably is.
Yeah, well, anyway, next to him is a man dressed like Ben Elton. He's really right on, and he wants us to vote for the socialists. Nobody votes for them, so we can dismiss all of that lot. So, really, it boils down to the three main parties. Liberal Democrats, the Conservative Party, and the Labour Party. Have you decided where you're going to put that floating turd of a vote?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave the listeners on a bit of a cliffhanger because there's two more debates to come and I really want to base it on dress sense, body language and personality traits. So I'll watch those first, I think.
Right, I completely agree with you.
Goodbye.
Bye. We'll